from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here comes the 0-1. And Happ hits one in the air to left. Pretty well hit. Back goes Benson. It's got a chance. Gone. 2-run home run, Ian Happ. Cubs lead 2-0.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse. David Haugh, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock, talking baseball here on The Score. And now it's time to go out to our Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. That is where we find the Cubs bench coach, Ryan Flaherty. Good morning, Ryan. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. I don't know if people realize your background. It's first year as a bench coach in the dugout here with the Cubs, but you have been a Cub before. 2008 first-round pick, 41st overall, supplemental pick, sandwich pick, doesn't matter. You were a first-rounder for the Cubs, Ryan. How is it to be back in the organization that drafted you?
It's been pretty special, honestly. I think just, you know, being back here and, you know, quite frankly, just seeing some of the people that worked here when I was here before, coaches that I had coming up in the minor leagues that are still here. And, you know, I guess sentimentally a little bit, you know, it is cool just to put on the uniform that, you know, of the team that drafted me. You know, at one point had dreams of playing in the big leagues with the Cubs. So just to wear it again and kind of feels full circle. It's been a good experience.
Thanks for coming on. We appreciate you taking the time. It's been a rough month. It's been a tough couple of weeks as far as run production goes. And yesterday certainly was a firestorm of events. I guess the first thing I need to ask you, Ryan, is we all know how good of a coach Willie Harris is, how energetic and how beloved he is and how hardworking he is. But our guys, because run production has been so difficult for the Cubs this month, are guys naturally trying to do too much to win baseball games right now?
You know, I think that's the easy thing to point to. I think, you know, whether we're going through this stretch offensively or not, you know, as it pertains to Willie's case, I think yesterday's, you know, events led to, you know, Willie sending the guy and you know, hindsight's 20/20. They had ways out of the inning. He did help him. It was going to be Morel with the bases loaded. So, you know, he had his reasons. He made a decision in the moment. And to be honest with you, I think he's second guessed. But of course, to your other question, yeah, I mean, you know, the things that, you know, the smaller things in baseball are pointed out when each game's close. So, I mean, right. And we're stuck in the stretch right now and feels like every game we're in the seventh inning on is one runner tied, and that's what we're living with right now. So until we come out of that, that's what we got to deal with.
Yeah, counsel always says to me, you know, we're human, okay? So we're going to have human responses to things. You're professionals, but human. And I'm not laying this on Willie, Ryan. I'm just saying, you know, your experience in baseball all these years as a player and a coach, you know, when things get rough, do guys try to do a little too much sometimes? Because that's just the nature of it. You are trying to win at all costs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, like I think it's like all other aspects of the game are magnified. An error feels like it's two errors. A bad pitch turns and it feels into that. And, you know, quite frankly, hitting solves a lot of that. I think when you have some run production, it's – you know, the stolen base you give up doesn't feel as magnified. But when you're in those tight games, those things do matter more. So, you know, pressure or, you know, just what we're dealt with situationally, yeah, those things are there, no doubt.
Joined by Ryan Flaherty, the Cubs bench coach here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, David Haw, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock. So, Ryan, what exactly do you do, and how do you do it? I know that you are in there next to Craig Counsell. What are your suggestions during the game? How difficult is it to process things quickly and get your ideas to the manager, if it is difficult at all? And how do you go through nine innings that is different from when you were a player for 7 years?
Yeah, well, what to do, I don't think anyone has the answer. And if they tell you they do have the answer, they'd probably be the only guy that I wouldn't listen to. But, you know, I guess, especially as going through the game, just situations come up and you're looking ahead and, you know, whether it be pinch hit options or, you know, decisions that are coming up at some point in the game, you know, you try to stay ahead of them and communicate that with Craig and communicate that with the players and just make sure everybody's on the same page and ready to go for whatever situation comes up.
I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about the Craig Counsell impact and what you've been through. You've been a coach for a while. You had a wonderful career where you played for some outstanding managers. What is the impact of working for Craig Counsell on a daily basis? What would you say you've learned in your, you know, first 2 or 3 months around him?
Yeah, I think he has such a good understanding of a ton of different areas of baseball, I think, whether it be pitching, hitting, defense, modern ideas in the game, traditional ideas in the game. He's open-minded. I think he listens to a lot of people and he takes everything and comes up with usually a pretty sound plan. So, you know, I just feel like every day you're in there with him, you kind of just gravitate to being around him because you feel like you're going to learn something. It's just been a pleasure the first couple months just getting to know him and work with him.
No panic. What I've seen, no panic, no getting bent out of shape on a great win or a horrible loss. How far does that go for everybody around if that is being interpreted the way that I've said, if that's accurate?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, across the field, you know, just coaching, not against him per se, but you'd see him in the opposing dugout, and it looks like he's always pacing around. And then when you work with him, you're like, holy crap, this guy, you know, he stays very steady for the players and the coaches both. So it's up across the way. Sometimes it looks like he's pacing around, but then, you know, win or lose, he's got good perspective when both of those things are happening. So again, just the coaches and the players both feel that from him. And, you know, it's been good to work with him.
So how does a kid growing up in Maine end up on a major league path? I don't know how many major league players necessarily come from Maine, but that is where your dad has been the coach at University of Southern Maine for a very long time. I believe there's a field even named after him. And you end up, you know, growing up in a baseball environment on the path to become a major league player. At what point in your life was that the goal?
Yeah, I think just having my dad, obviously my dad was a big influence in why, you know, I chose baseball, fell in love with baseball, whatever you want to call it. Just going to his practices at a young age and watching him and, you know, he did also, you know, he didn't coach me a ton. He didn't push me into baseball. It was just something that I, you know, grew up just trying to follow him and follow the practices. So, you know, that's where it started. And, you know, I think, you know, I can remember being an elementary school kid, just, you know, dreaming of playing in the big leagues. And I'd tell people I wanted to play in the big leagues. So, you know, I think my dad obviously had a huge impact on that.
The Buck Showalter impact on you. I remember when you first started playing for his team, him talking about the headiness of you, the baseball guy who just helps you win games. What type of impact did Buck have on you? And the fact that, you know, you might have gotten to the right person, the right place in your career to be able to show who you were and be that good professional major league player that you ended up being?
Yeah, fortunately for me, Buck was okay having a utility man who was hitting 200 every year. So that's I was fortunate enough for that. But you're right. I think I was glad. I was fortunate to have him as a manager. I think, you know, he certainly, you know, he sees the game differently than everyone. I remember sitting on the bench every night. And, you know, even as a bench player, you had to be on your toes because at some point he was going to walk down and point out something that happened in the game. And, you know, he was testing you and making sure that, you know, you were watching and kind of seeing the game the same way he saw it. So, you know, you could be sitting there in the fifth inning, not having played in a week, but, you know, you know, the nerves were there and you had to pay attention to make sure that, you know, you were ready when he came down in the dugout just to bring up something that just happened.
Ryan, this has been a big week for the Cub coaching staff. Daniel Moskis gets ejected after arguing a balk call in Milwaukee. Yesterday, Willie Harris at the center, the biggest play of the game. And I just wondered, with you guys on the staff, fellow staff members, do you rally around each other in these kind of situations? Because it is unusual. Typically, I would think that you would want nobody to really know that you're as involved as these incidents suggest, because these are bringing attention to things, and I imagine that would be something that after the fact you guys can commiserate with each other and support each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think Willie, you know, in Willie's case, Willie's a third base coach, and Willie happens to have the only other job outside of the manager that's probably getting second guessed all the time. So that's not an easy job. And in his case, it's just point blank. It's black or white. It's yes or no. It was the right decision or wrong decision. The rest of us live in that gray area where it's, you know, you can't, you know, necessarily see the mistakes as often as, you know, you can as a third base coach or however it may be. So, you know, I definitely think that it's having been here 2 months, the coaching staff is very tight. And you know, for sure, I think you go through those things. There's been numerous instances that I've come to those guys on decisions that were made, and they offer support towards, you know, myself and then vice versa. So, I mean, it's definitely a close-knit staff that, you know, you just, it's all of us trying to get this thing, get through this thing together. And, you know, it'll pass here shortly.
Ryan Flaherty, our guest for a few more minutes on Inside the Clubhouse. He's David. I'm Bruce. We're here every Saturday, 50 to 51 weeks out of the year, talking baseball on The Score. Ryan, a part of your job is also helping the infielders out. Player development, such a huge part of what's going on in Major League Baseball these days. You got a lot of player development going on at third base, and it's coming along pretty well with Christopher Morel. You have it at first base with Bush. Talk a little bit about that and all the extra work that you do, all the participation that your players have put into the job. Morel is really come along here after being second-guessed big time starting in spring training as to whether he could do the job or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with Moda, I think just, you know, helping Jonathan in that area, and he's done a great job with Christopher. I think it's something that, you know, each day he keeps getting better. And you know, like you said, I think the player development aspect of, like, it's certainly the Major League Baseball's changed from even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when a guy became a big leaguer, he's a big leaguer, leave him alone and whatever. And now, you know, I think teams are constantly trying to find ways to develop at the major league level, and the teams that are good are doing it better than other teams. So I think that's an area that, you know, there's a lot more individualized work for what Christopher needs versus what Dansby and Nico may need and what Michael Bush may need. So I think, you know, just helping Jonathan with that, and again, it's turned into a two-man job versus a one-man job, just because of all the individualization of the practice of each of those players. So, yeah.
Before we let you go, Ryan, have to know this. I think Ryan Krumer talked to you earlier this week. Why do they call you Flash? Is it because of your defensive prowess? Is it any other? How do you explain the nickname?
Well, it's not because I'm fast. The truth is, I was in middle school, and they used to call me Flats. And I had a coach who used to, they call me Flats, and then they just start calling me Flash. And I went from a high school in Maine to Vanderbilt with a kid from my high school in Maine, and that stuck. I was drafted from Vanderbilt with the Cubs with a kid David Macias. So it just everywhere I've gone there, and someone's known me as that, and it just keeps going. So at this point, it's just kind of stuck. So I've had it since I've been 9 years old, honestly.
Ask and answer. That's a great explanation. Well, Flash, best of luck to you the rest of this season. Hope you're enjoying your time in Chicago. We really appreciate your time here this morning.
Okay. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks.
Ryan Flaherty, the Cubs bench coach, joining us for a few minutes here on Inside the Clubhouse. It has been an unusual week for Cubs coaches, this coaching staff, from the guys I mentioned, and now Ryan Flaherty.
As you mentioned, David, anytime a coach is mentioned, about 80%, 90% of the time, it's, he got thrown out of the game. Mm-hmm. I wonder what he said to the umpire. it's the same thing with Harris, and I think Willie Harris is a really good coach. The idea that, you know, you are picked out when things don't work out, as opposed to what a great send by Willie Harris. How often do you ever hear that? That's just, I mean, Chambi, you know, will do it on TV. Pat will do it once in a while, along with Ron Coomer.
They did make a commercial. And Willie Harris is the guy in the commercial, right? So they have branded him a aggressive, enthusiastic.
He is. He's all
asset
that.
To this he operation.
Is. He is. He was the same way as a player in a world championship team with the Chicago White Sox.
People forget that.
Yeah, absolutely.
People forget Willie Harris has a big shiny World Series.
I'll never forget the celebrations going on. I go into the back room of the celebration in the clubhouse, and there's Willie sitting by himself. I said, Willie, this is the greatest time of your life. What the hell are you doing sitting by yourself? He goes, I'm allergic to champagne.
Really?
Yeah. And he's sitting there because he didn't want to start breaking out and getting sick. And this is just one of my favorite moments of that great time, you know. I was lucky enough to be on the pre- and post-game coverage for both the White Sox and the Cubs World Championships. If I have a distinction in my career, that might be it. And there he is. I'm looking for guests. I go to this back room, and Willie's sitting there by himself drinking a Diet Coke going, can't be around the champagne.
Easy guy to get on the air then, right? I mean, he was the only sober one.
He's always a go-to guy for me.
Ozzy would probably take up – he probably had his bottle for – I'll drink Willie. I'll drink for Willie and myself.
As he didn't miss any that night, for sure.
Cup Series against the Reds continues tonight with the entire coaching staff, Flash included, Willie Harris and the gang from Wrigley. Pregame coverage at 5:40. First pitch, 6:15. The score has the only local broadcast of the game. It's nationally televised. You can listen to every Cub game in Chicagoland with the free Odyssey app. And tonight, big matchup. This is worthy of prime time. Justin Steele, Hunter Green. Justin Steele on Memorial Day was the guy that we recognized, the guy that he finally looked like the pitcher from last year.
I spent a long time talking to him yesterday in the Cub clubhouse, and he said, you know, we can't say, you know, we're rounding into shape, but, you know, I was out for a month, so it was almost like, and I said, well, was it like starting spring training again? He said, 100%. He said, but we're professionals. We're expected to just, once we're on the field, we're expected, and our team's expecting, our manager's expecting us to be ready to win that game. We are, but I can tell you I'm feeling a lot better over the last couple starts than I was at the beginning. I'm feeling stronger. So, you know, again, what's been missed in this is the starting pitching. You know, Assad giving two runs yesterday in five innings. It's not considered really good anymore when it's really outstanding from a perspective of pitching now. But we've been so spoiled by the Cubs pitching staff being that good that that's being lost in translation here because of the struggles to try to win.
That's a great point, and he's got to be better than good again tonight. He's got to be the stopper because they have to take advantage of this little lull in the schedule because after the Reds, of course, it's Cubs and White Sox, and that means Tuesday, Parkinson Spiegel. They'll be doing something they've never done before, broadcasting live on the field at Wrigley. Parkinson Spiegel doing the show 2 to 6, joined by Nico Horner, Craig Counsell, Steve Stone, and other special guests prior to Game 1 of Cubs and Sox. Tuesday, starting at 2, right here on The Score and the free Odyssey app. We'll talk a little White Sox when we come back inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We're back with more.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Got a little raspberry on the knee to show for it. That one, a drive out to left center. The power surge, a team-leading 8th home run of the season. DeJong ties the game at 1 apiece here in the 3rd inning.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock. That was courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. Paul DeJong homering on Friday night, his 8th of the season against the Milwaukee Brewers. Hoping to connect with Paul in a few minutes. Bruce, the White Sox lose again. It is their 9th straight loss, 13 of the last 14. The Brewers have 23 hits. But the bigger number, the more unusual number, is that 18 of those hits were singles. That's unusual.
Yeah, again, I thought I was watching replays when it was opposite field hits, center field hits, right field, left field. It was just unbelievable. And again, when I was on with Mark Grody the other night while you were running and listening to me rip you in the morning, I apologized to the people in Milwaukee because I didn't feel Milwaukee was going to be good enough after losing so much pitching from their team last year. You know, you lose Burns, you know, You lose your closer to injury at the beginning of the year. You lose your manager. I just didn't think they could keep up. But, you know, shame on me for not paying better attention to the fact that this is a team that's pitching well enough and does all the other little things extremely well. Run the bases, make play defense, not make a lot of mistakes, hit the ball where it's pitched. It's a fun team to watch.
It's a familiar team to watch as well, and I'm sure it looked familiar to our next guest from all those years in St. Louis. And Paul DeJong joins us now in the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Paul, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. Thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate your time. It's a tough stretch for the White Sox. You are leading the team in home runs with eight. You hit it last night. Congratulations on that. How would you describe, given your veteran status, you've been in the league since 2017, how difficult this stretch is and what the key is to trying to endure it?
Yeah, I mean, we've all kind of experienced some personal ups and downs, and I think the biggest thing for us is an individual mindset shift. I think we all need to be thinking we're the reason our team's going to win today. I think we all want to be that guy. And if we all want to be that guy today and we start combining those efforts, that's what you see, like what Milwaukee did last night with 20-something hits, you know, three or four guys with three or four hits. That's a pretty intense game that they just played against us, super fundamental, and they just, you know, base hit us to death. I think just the mindset of us all wanting to be the reason today to win is how we combine all that together. And, you know, really that determination and that, you know, kind of wanting to be the guy is a big part of actually executing. So I think the mindset is the key there.
Well, you know, it's a good mindset. And, you know, I'm going to tell listeners and, you know, David here that when I came to you to ask you to come on the show the other day, you hesitated a little bit. And I said, look, I know this is a difficult time for you. So if you have any hesitation at all, you know, don't come on. We'll do it some other time. Professionally, just the way that you handle this and wanting to come on and do this is refreshing. I know how difficult it is to talk about not doing well and being on a team mm-hmm. that's lost this much. But from mm-hmm. the perspective of your background, I look at the clubhouse and I'm there almost every day when you guys are at home. You guys are a pretty cohesive unit staying together during some tough times.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our personnel, our chemistry has always been good. And that's a positive that comes from this. And I think that will carry us as we get out of this. But, you know, it comes down to what happens on the field, too. And sometimes preparation is part of that. So I think for us as a group, we have to, continue to maintain our preparation to win. You know, we're coming here for a reason. We're coming here to play. I know teams are circling us on the calendars right now because they think they can just roll all over us. And, sometimes we have to be stronger than that. We have to, want to be the reason that a team says, wow, we just dropped a series to the White Sox, you know, and then, you know, culture change over time with that. And, you know, then we're playing, you know, somewhat up to our potential here. So, you know, something's got to give and we have to, I think that's a mental shift.
Paul, I think a lot of Sox fans and people in Chicago realize that obviously you were with the Cardinals for such a long time. And in the Cub-Cardinal rivalry, we got to know your name and talents well. They know you're from Illinois State. I think people forget maybe you came into the league in the first 3 years, you averaged 25 home runs a year. You got some pop mm-hmm. in that bat. You're seeing it this year with you have eight so far, as we mentioned, coming in. Do you consider yourself a home run hitter?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've done that early in my career. And I had some, you know, kind of sidetrack swing changes and injuries and all sorts of, poor performance over the few years following that. But then, you know, I think I've circled my way back to just allowing my swing to work naturally, which produces power. It's not a goal of mine. It's not a process, really. It's more of just a result of doing things right. I feel like I've always hit the ball in the air with power. You know, that's always been one of my strengths as a natural hitter. And I think you're just seeing my natural swing starting to come back.
Difficult moments occur for players, for coaches, for managers. Last week it was for Pedro Grifol after you guys were almost no hit by Bradish and Baltimore. I wonder, you know, your perspective of Pedro losing it and how he handled it. Talking to the players after the game, some of them agreed, some of them disagreed. I like the idea that people are individuals and stand up, but you know, during these tough moments, how do you think Pedro has held up?
I think that moment for him was tough because of, you know, the games that we had played against Baltimore, such a good team, and we were right there, and we had a chance to win a few of those games, really. And then to come out Sunday and, not even get close to competing and, you know, just looking like helpless against Bradish. I didn't start that game, but watching him from the side, he looked like an ace, and he is their ace. I think when he's healthy, his stuff is probably as good or better as Burns. I think Burns is a little bit better pitcher, but I think looking at Bradish, I think his pure stuff might be better. I think that's just frustration boiling over, and everyone deals with it their own way, and that was Pedro's way. But you know, since then, Pedro's still been the same guy as far as, he's joking around with guys. He's having conversations. He also has his attention to detail in our hitters meetings and other meetings. So, you know, I think that was just one of those moments where he wanted to show the team how much he cared and how much he wanted more from us. And I think, you know, almost like see it like my dad is disappointed in me after I did something. He's like, it sparked something inside you to be like, well, what am I doing and what can I be doing better? So, you know, a lot of this stuff is internal reflectors, and I think that's super important to be a good player and to stick around the league. You have to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I think that was just a reminder. We have a lot of young players, and, you know, sometimes those players need to hear it. Yeah, that's not the first time I've heard a manager blow up. So maybe it is for a young player, and he'll, you know, look inside himself and think, well, what can I do better? And I think that was the whole point.
Talking with White Sox shortstop Paul DeJong here on The Score, how much more often do you find yourself, given your experience and given the fact that you're able to process things the way you just described with a little bit of more maturity than maybe a young player would, how much more vocal have you been maybe this year in the Sox clubhouse?
Yeah, I've been, especially in hitters meetings and, you know, just little like kind of routine things like scheduling, you know, young players hitting first, older players hitting, you know, in their normal time is talking about pitchers that we've seen and guys that I played with or played against, just trying to help guys out. You know, just little things like that, you know, trying to be a liaison to our coaches too about what I'm seeing on defense, you know, kind of little feedback things. And I think communication is so important. And that's what some of the things I learned from the Cardinals was how much we communicated about the game and what we saw. And if something happened during the game, we would talk about it either during or after or both, and, you know, get it on video and all sorts of this. So it really, it comes down to just being active and present in the moment. And that's what we kind of saw last night with the Brewers. Their approach with at the plate was incredible. I mean, they hit the ball over the yard. I don't think they get more than a double. I mean, so they were just doing everything they needed to do in those situations. And, you know, I thought we had actually a decent offensive night.
Yeah, you did.
So that was, you know, just a funny, you know, so there's so many things that can happen in a game. And that's why baseball is so amazing is the drama, the unexpectedness. And so I think as a veteran player, being able to share as much of that with the younger players, I think is super important for their development.
Paul DeJong, the shortstop of the Chicago White Sox, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse. Paul, the difficult one, hearing it all the time and being asked these questions like you will be right now, is Chris Getz, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox, on every occasion he's interviewed, talks about the fact that he will continue to change. He will continue to trade veterans for younger players so they can get better down the road here. How do you internalize it? How does Tommy Pham internalize it? How do you veteran guys look at the fact that your stay here might be short, keep it impactful, and be able to concentrate on the game at hand rather than the fact that you might be playing somewhere else by the 1st of August?
Yeah, you know, going through that last year, going into my free agent year with the Cardinals, playing pretty well and getting traded, that was a huge shock for me as far as just the process of it. And then going to another team, the Giants, after that, I think that gave me a ton of learning and experience when it comes to that. So this time around, I'm understanding of where I'm at in my career, where this team is at. And, you know, it's almost something that Tommy and I are expecting at the end of the year or by the trade deadline, you know. But I want to play well before that so that my value is high and, you know, I get a chance to go and play on a good playoff team. And I also want the White Sox to be able to get something in return. You know, I care about the people here and I really have enjoyed my time with the White Sox, and Chicago is a special place for me. And so I think it works both ways. I think we both can profit from each other. And, you know, I'm just thankful to have these opportunities to play for the White Sox.
you know, stay in the big leagues and perform, try to do my best and get a chance to play every day is a great honor for me and something I don't take lightly. So, you know, day by day, I just want to put together, you know, a nice season and whatever happens, I'll be ready for it.
And that's why the professionals like yourself and Tommy and the others who probably will go somewhere else are so valuable for this beginning building block, Paul, for the White Sox, where we're not kidding anybody. They have places they need to go, and it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, that'll happen when it needs to happen. And in the meantime, I want to, you know, just try to help some of these guys and try to help myself and help the team and really just got to play great baseball every day. There's no secrets to this. It's all discipline. It's all focus. It's all, you know, will, wanting to be here and wanting to make an impact. And if you just start combining that every day for months, and then you get to see what type of player you really are. And so I'm excited to keep going and, you know, see what happens.
Paul, thank you for your time and your candor. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Paul DeJong, White Sox shortstop. For the time being.
Making a bold and obvious comment that he expects to be traded.
Professional approach.
That he expects to be traded by the 1st of September. That he hopes his time here is valuable for the younger players. And that he hopes he can move on and have an impact on somebody's playoff run in August and September.
We'll react to what he had to say and close things up, maybe get some lineups when we come back. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This time around, I'm understanding of where I'm at in my career, where this team is at. And, you know, it's almost something that Tommy and I are expecting at the end of the year or by the trade deadline, you know. But I want to play well before that so that my value is high and, you know, I get a chance to go and play on a good playoff team. And I also want the White Sox to be able to get something in return. You know, I care about the people here and I really have enjoyed my time with the White Sox, and Chicago is a special place for me. And so I think it works both ways. I think we both can profit from each other.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. And Bruce, that was as candid as I have ever heard a professional athlete be about the reality that he is basically here to be traded and he likely will be dealt before the trade deadline. That was Paul DeJong joining us in the last segment.
Well, you know, I think when the moment he signed, he knew that it was a 4-month term with the Chicago White Sox, that was the plan. So the plan by Chris Getz and his people was not to win. It was certainly not to lose, but it's not to win. It's to just be credible and build toward the future of getting younger players from the veteran players they have. And certainly DeJong and Pham will be used that way over the next 2 months in a trade to help the White Sox get better. That's no shock. What you said is right. It's shocking to hear the player understand his reality and also pay homage to the team and the fact that he does feel good about the fact that he had a chance to play here. But David, who wouldn't want to go to another team right now?
I'm not judging that.
I'm saying you can do both.
Yeah.
Paul's doing both. He's playing hard every day. He's being a good teammate. And he's also anticipating playing more meaningful games the last couple months.
Last year was the exception to the rule of his career. Last year stunk.
It fell off.
If you went from the Cardinals to the Blue Jays and the Giants.
It wasn't good at the beginning of the year either. He's gotten better.
He looks like this year, after a slow start, he has been the guy that we recognize from all those years with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
He had 30 home runs in 2019. Not to say he's going to hit 30 this year, but you can see when the White Sox sale begins, whenever it does, that Chris Getz could maybe get something for Paul DeJong. And that's got to be the mindset the Sox take into every conversation.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, you know, contrary to your opinion, I listen to Mullion Hall a lot. And, you know, the angry David that I hear sometimes about the White Sox is understandable, because you want for the White Sox fan base to have a better team to watch. You want them to be winning. I understand that. It's good frustration. It's good radio. But the reality is, on a daily basis, you're trying to get incrementally better every day. And it's hard for a fan or us in the media to see that improvement as it goes along, because you're mired in, you know, one of the worst seasons in baseball history. It might get worse, David. As I said, after the first 2 weeks of the season, this could be a historically bad team.
They're the worst team in baseball, right? And they are by six games.
But is that a
six games?
But is that a bad thing, or is it a really a good thing for the White Sox fan base not to be tricked into thinking that mediocrity is good enough for them going down the road?
Mediocrity would be a quantum leap.
No, but stuck in mediocrity is no good.
You don't want to be there. You have to bottom out before you get good again.
Right now, the Cubs are mediocre. Okay, right. Everybody's pushing back. We don't want mediocre.
Nope.
We're promised a better team here. You have the top manager in baseball. You brought him in. You're paying him the most money.
Prove it.
You brought Belly back. We expect you to win. Guess what? The Cubs are an average team right now. One of probably 18 to 20 teams that are all in the same mix that aren't the top five or six.
They play tonight right here on The Score. Coverage starts at 5:40 with pregame. The White Sox back in action. Garrett Crochet on the mound. 4:10 start in Milwaukee against Robert Gasser. Sox and Brewers. And Bruce, if you're listening Monday morning, and I hope that you are, to the Mullin Haas Show, you better be, actually. This is going to be a fun show.
If you have me on, I'll be listening.
NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales is going to be filling in for Mully and joining me on Monday morning, so you don't want to miss that, starting at 5:30. We'll be talking Bears. We'll be talking a little bit of everything. We're going to have Stacey's college coach from the University of Oklahoma. She's in the Oklahoma Hall of Fame. And Stacey Dales is going to be here for the entire show. You can listen to that on The Score and the free Odyssey app. All right, we have to get out of here, Bruce, because Steve Rosenblum is there with his cool-looking hat.
Can we just stay and do the show with Steve?
You can. I'm gone.
You don't think he wants us to share some of our sports acumen with him?
He may need that. He's not going to get that. Not today. I'm done. We have some people today.
We do. Certainly, Paul DeJong from the White Sox joining us. Brian Flaherty, the bench coach of the Cubs. Sean Sears, a fantastic job as our producer. David, as always, I thank you. I know you'll be off next week. Mike's going to sit in for you, and we'll do the very best we can to keep it going.
I'm not going to be here on Saturday. I'll be here all throughout the week on the Mullin Haas Show. My son graduates from Northwestern Graduate School next Saturday.
Congratulations to you and your family.
Thank you very
much.
People
can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. On our website, 670thescore.com, where I'll be writing more about Paul DeJong saying he understands he will be traded and looking forward to helping the Sox and moving on.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Around, I'm understanding of where I'm at in my career, where this team is at, and you know, it's almost something that Tommy and I are expecting at the end of the year or by the trade deadline, you know. But I want to play well before that so that my value is high and, you know, I get a chance to go and play on a good playoff team. And I also want the White Sox to be able to get something in return. You know, I care about the people here, and I really have enjoyed my time with the White Sox, and Chicago is a special place for me. And so I think it works both ways. I think we both can profit from each other.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. And Bruce, that was as candid as I have ever heard a professional athlete be about the reality that he is basically here to be traded, and he likely will be dealt before the trade deadline. That was Paul DeJong joining us in the last segment.
Well, you know, I think when the moment he signed, he knew that it was a four-month term with the Chicago White Sox, that was the plan. So the plan by Chris Getz and his people was not to win. It was certainly not to lose, but it's not to win. It's to just be credible and build toward the future of getting younger players from the veteran players they have. And certainly DeJong and Pham will be used that way over the next 2 months in a trade to help the White Sox get better. That's no shock. What you said is right. It's shocking to hear the player understand his reality and also pay homage to the team and the fact that he does feel good about the fact that he had a chance to play here. But David, who wouldn't want to go to another team right now?
I'm not judging that.
I'm saying you can do both.
Yeah.
Paul's doing both. He's playing hard every day. He's being a good teammate. And he's also anticipating playing more meaningful games the last couple months.
Last year was the exception to the rule of his career. Last year stunk.
It fell off.
He went from the Cardinals to the Blue Jays and the Giants.
It wasn't good at the beginning of the year either. He's gotten better.
He looks like this year, after a slow start, he has been the guy that we recognize from all those years with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
He had 30 home runs in 2019. Not to say he's going to hit 30 this year, but you can see when the White Sox sale begins, whenever it does, that Chris Getz could maybe get something for Paul DeJong, and that's got to be the mindset the Sox take into every conversation.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, you know, contrary to your opinion, I listen to Mullion Hall a lot, and you know, the angry David that I hear sometimes about the White Sox is understandable, because you want for the White Sox fan base to have a better team to watch. You want them to be winning. I understand that. It's good frustration. It's good radio. But the reality is, on a daily basis, you're trying to get incrementally better every day. And it's hard for a fan or us in the media to see that improvement as it goes along, because you're mired in, you know, one of the worst seasons in baseball history. It might get worse, David. As I said, after the first 2 weeks of the season, this could be a historically bad team.
They're the worst team in baseball, right? And they are by six games.
But is that a
six games?
But is that a bad thing, or is it a really a good thing for the White Sox fan base not to be tricked into thinking that mediocrity is good enough for them going down the road?
Mediocrity would be a quantum leap.
No, but stuck in mediocrity is no good.
You don't want to be there. You have to bottom out before you get good again.
Right now, the Cubs are mediocre, okay? Right. Everybody's pushing back. We don't want mediocre.
Nope.
We're promised a better team here. You have the top manager in baseball. You brought him in. You're paying him the most money.
Show it. Prove it.
You brought Belly back. We expect you to win. Guess what? The Cubs are an average team right now, one of probably 18 to 20 teams that are all in the same mix that aren't the top five or six.
They play tonight right here on The Score. Coverage starts at 5:40 with pregame. The White Sox back in action. Garrett Crochet on the mound. 4:10 start in Milwaukee against Robert Gasser. Sox and Brewers. And Bruce, if you're listening Monday morning, and I hope that you are, to the Mullion Hall Show. You better be, actually. This is going to be a fun show.
If you have me on, I'll be listening.
NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales is going to be filling in for Mully and joining me on Monday morning, so you don't want to miss that, starting at 5:30. We'll be talking Bears. We'll be talking a little bit of everything. We're going to have Stacey's college coach from the University of Oklahoma. She's in the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, and Stacey Dales is going to be here for the entire show. You can listen to that on The Score and the free Odyssey app. All right, we have to get out of here, Bruce, because Steve Rosenblum is there with his cool-looking hat.
Can't we just stay and do the show with Steve?
You can. Do you think I'm gone.
You don't think he wants us to share some of our sports acumen with
him?
He
may need that. He's not going to get that. Not today. I'm done. We have some people
We do. Certainly, Paul DeJong from the White Sox joining us. Brian Flaherty, the bench coach of the Cubs. Sean Sears, a fantastic job as our producer. David, as always, I thank you. I know you'll be off next week. Mike's going to sit in for you, and we'll do the very best we can to keep it going.
I'm not going to be here on Saturday. I'll be here all throughout the week on the Mullin Haw Show. My son graduates from Northwestern Graduate
Congratulations
School
to you and your family.
Thank you very
much. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine on our website, 670thescore.com, where I'll be writing more about Paul DeJong saying he understands he will be traded and looking forward to helping the Sox and moving on.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.